Cardinals Underground. With analyst Ron Wolfley, azcardinals.com reporter Darren Urban, and your host, radio sideline reporter Paul Calvisi.
Welcome into Cardinals Underground, everyone. Welcome inside the Cardinals practice bubble, gentlemen, here on azcardinals.com. Insider extraordinaire Darren Urban, Ron Wolfley, Cardinals analyst, four-time Pro Bowler, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. So let me get this straight, Wolf, okay? If you win games by players making plays, well, you need players to make those plays to win those games. So I guess that's what the offseason is all about, acquiring those players. Hence, a very important time of year to construct your team.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Pully. And I would say that Steve Keim, the general manager for the Cardinals, has done a great job of going out and looking at the team holistically and saying, you know what, defensively, we're okay. Offense is where we can really, really improve. And we see that with the free agent signings. He went out and he went offensive heavy for the free agent signings. And I think it's the right move.
None bigger than the big guy, Jared Valdir. Big dude, big need they fill, right? Big contract, at least the biggest one they've handed out so far. And it was the very first call they made when free agency opened up to the former Raiders left tackle, who's now the Cardinals left tackle at 26 years of age.
Well, with all due respect to Bradley Saul, I think everybody knew that that was going to be one of their top needs going into this offseason. And they made sure that they went and got one in Jared Valdir. And I think it's weird. You know, we've all been around this team for a long time. And I know Levi Brown took that post for a long time. And there was a lot of belief in Levi Brown from various people for a long time. Yet it always seems like left tackle was a conversation that we all were having over and over and over and over. And the hope is that this settles that down a little bit. Everybody seems to believe that Valdir can be the answer there. He does have some things to work on. He does have technique he can get better at. Bruce Arians has already talked about that. But if you can have solidified that part of the line, even if he isn't a Pro Bowler, but just a very solid left tackle, I think it just changes a lot for this team.
I think what convinced Steve Keim, at least this is exactly what he said during his press conference, was, well, you can see on film what sort of player he is, but what sort of guy is he? And then they got that inside scouting report from a Carson Palmer, and they find out, this is Guy Wolf who loves the game, who's been known to scrap it up on the practice field.
That's the great thing about Steve Keim, guys. He is going to pull every player through the prism of, do you love to play this game? And it's a great thing about the game of football as well, because you can watch film. And if you watch enough of it, you can tell whether or not this guy loves to play the game. You can tell a lot about a person by watching film. Jared Valdir is a guy that loves to line up, 6'8", 325 pounds, paint the face and come off the ball with a dark heart. You got to love that in a left tackle. The guy's got a little bit of something running out of the side of his neck. He's a street fighter. And even though he's probably not athletically the type of left tackle that you want, he's not the classic quintessential left tackle. He's a guy that gets it done through a lot of want to, a lot of desire. And the fact that he's 6'8", and he's got a wingspan with the go-go gadget arms that keeps those pass rushers off the quarterback. This guy can get it done. Remember this, guys. 4 years. 4 years of starting, including his rookie season. He gave up 18 sacks in the AFC West. 18. 7.5 of which came his rookie year. 10.5 sacks over the last three, and that's playing against the likes of Von Miller, Elvis Dumervil when he was there in Denver, right? Sean Phillips in San Diego, one of the better outside edge rushers in the NFL for a long, long time. Houston from Kansas City, Tamba Hali. This guy is a known commodity. He is a proven commodity. It's not like you're throwing some guy out there and saying, you know what, let's see if he can actually play left tackle. Because we think that he can play. We don't know he can play, but we want to find out. That's not Jared Valdir.
He's also not the only new name on that on the offensive line. Right. I mean, give us the possibilities of the potential for four new starters, perhaps?
Well, I mean, we'll have to see what happens. But obviously, everybody's expecting Jonathan Cooper to come back and play left guard. You know, he's still rehabbing. He still has to come all the way back. But it would be a shock if your 2013 number one draft pick wasn't starting at left guard. So you got a new left side of the line. I think Lyle Sinline stays put at center. But you know, what happens at right guard? Does Ted Larson, the new guy they signed in free agency, does he take that role? Do you go back to Paul Fonseca? Is Earl Watford ready, who I think is the guy who they'd really like to have happen? He's a draft pick from last year. Is he ready to step in? And then at right tackle, Bobby Massey's sitting there. Didn't play hardly at all last year because Eric Winston was out there, but I think he's another guy who, again, you draft a guy because you want him eventually to be that starter, and then that could be your line.
Massey is the guy who's intriguing. I don't know about you guys, but I talked to defensive linemen who would tell you last season the most talented guy in the Cardinals' offensive line last year was Bobby Massey.
Yeah.
He's young. He's still a little raw. Maybe it took a little time to adapt to the playbook, as it did the entire offense until midseason before they finally mastered it, and then we saw the difference before and after. But, you know, Massey would solve a big need if he developed a right tackle, would he not?
Well, that'd be beautiful, Paulie, no doubt about it. I think back to Big Massey. Remember, I called it that last year, right? Big Massey. It was 13 personnel, basically. One back, three tight ends, with Bobby being that third tight end, if you will. How many times did we see Bruce Arians bring him out, line up in that 13 personnel, and run 22 or 23 double, which is the inside zone, basically the power, without pulling an uncovered offensive lineman? And you saw Bobby Massey just destroy some people at the point of attack. That's good. That tells me he's got a chance. Now the rest of it is just knowing what to do, because go back to his rookie season. Think how much he improved from the beginning of his rookie season, where he was thrown out there at right tackle, and the number of sacks he gave up, to the fact that in the second half of the season, he gave up zero sacks out there at right tackle. Bobby Massey, I believe, is one of these guys, and I played with a lot of them, one of these guys that learns via experience. He learns by doing. He needs to be able to do that. And that's not a slam against him in the least. There's some guys who can just see it on the board and remember it. Other guys have to actually do it. I think Bobby's probably a guy that has to do it.
And if
that happens, look out.
Yeah. It was a sight to behold when they brought in that three tight end package and it featured Bobby Massey. Speaking of tight ends, we know Bruce Arians doesn't use the fullback, has an affinity for the tight end. John Carlson is a new name to the Cardinals. Tell us what we know about him. Concussion issues most recently, right?
Right, and that's going to be the biggest thing with him. I mean, when he came into the league with Seattle, he did a really good job catching the ball. He looked like he was going to be a potential star at that position. Got hurt in a couple of different ways. Went to the Vikings, even though he had been hurt, and got a big contract, didn't pan out there. And like you said, he was dealing with a concussion at the end of last year. But obviously they feel comfortable enough to bring him in. They signed with the cut type of deal that Steve Keim likes, which is basically if you play, you'll get paid. And if he has the injury issues, it's not going to hurt the team that much. And I think he's got a potential. Wolf and I were talking about this earlier. He's got the potential to really be a weapon in this offense. And again, when you start adding in better pass protection because of the improved offensive line, better tight ends, so you get Carson Palmer a couple new targets, and then, you know, of course they add Ted Ginn, the speedster at wide receiver, you know, that passing game, all of a sudden you get really intrigued by it.
I had a chance to talk with Ted Ginn Jr. A couple of takeaways. Number one, he said, I still run a 4.38. And number two, he just had this confidence about him that maybe he didn't have earlier in his career as a receiver. You know, I mean, he's a Pro Bowl caliber return man. In fact, he said, you know, hey, he expects to return both kicks and punts, so we'll see how that works out exactly. You know, maybe they take that off Patrick Peterson's plate as a number one corner. Maybe that'll be intriguing. But number two, Wolf, you know, he's a guy coming off a career-high 5 touchdown receptions for Carolina. Yeah. What does that add, that dynamic, that 4-3-8 to a Bruce Arians offense?
Terror, for lack of a better way of saying it. Look, Ted Ginn Jr. can still run. He can flat out get it. Now all of a sudden you line that up with 11 personnel, and that 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, and you've got Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, and now a guy that can take the top off the secondary, a guy that can flat out run right by you. Now look, does he have the best hands in the world? Maybe not. Okay, he does. Drops have been a problem for Ted Ginn Jr. throughout his career. But you know what? He really improved over the last two seasons. Really improved, and Carolina, I think, is just a taste of what he can do. I would proffer this, Paulie. I think Ted Ginn Jr. is going to be more dangerous to a defense without the ball in his hands than he's going to be with the ball in his hands. Yes, does he have to get down the field and make some catches? to scare a defensive coordinator, prove that he can catch the deep ball, prove that he can hurt you. Yes, there's no denying that. And he did it last year in Carolina, by the way. 24 of his 36 receptions, 4 first downs. Mm-hmm. He averaged over 15 yards per reception. This is a guy who can still get down the field and beat you. And that scares defensive coordinators. If, in fact, he does that early in the season, proves that he can run by you, make a play down the field, it is going to be lights out for Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. And maybe we'll see that synergy, because you got Michael Floyd on the other side. Remember that now. Michael Floyd on the other side, Ted Ginn. Now all of a sudden, Larry, there's a real good chance he might see single coverage.
He would like that.
And if that happens, now maybe we'll see that symbiotic relationship between Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald actually form.
Well, there's no doubt the Cardinals' offense improved significantly as the season went on. And here in the offseason, you could argue the Cardinals' offense has gotten a lot better as well. And we still have the draft to go and more, and we'll keep you covered right here at azcardinals.com. For Ron Wolfley and Darren Urban, I'm Paul Calvisi. It's been another edition of Cardinals Underground.